The Old Testament reading for Ash Wednesday is from Joel chapter 2. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts, not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Consecrate the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children, even nursing infants. Let the bridegroom leave his room, and the bride her chamber. Between the vestibule and the altar, let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep and say, spare your people, O Lord. Make not your heritage a reproach, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then the Lord became jealous for his land and had pity on his people. The Lord answered and said to his people, behold, I am sending to you grain, wine, and oil, and you will be satisfied. I will no more make you a reproach among the nations. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle is from 2 Corinthians chapters 5 and 6. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Working together with him, then, we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech and the power of God, with the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, behold, we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Jesus said, beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for then you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. This is the gospel of our Lord. Our sermon text today is Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 to 6 and 16 to 21, the verses that you heard in our gospel lesson today. The sermon title is True Religion and Hypocrisy. I have a book here. You probably can't read the title. It says Sacred Places of a Lifetime, 500 of the World's Most Peaceful and Powerful Destinations, published by National Geographic, 2008. If you go into this book, there's lots of pictures, as you know, National Geographic, and lots of explanation about religious things all around the world. It includes chapters about sacred natural places, like holy waterfalls, megaliths and mysteries like Stonehenge, landmarks of major religion. An example of that would be the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem, majestic religious ruins, places of prayer, tombs and relics of holy men and women, the pilgrims' routes, not talking about the pilgrims on the Mayflower, but people that take pilgrim routes for religion, ceremonies and festivals, places of reverence to honor the dead, and spiritual retreats. Reading through this book, you can't help but be impressed with how influential and how public most religions have been throughout the course of history. And it's quite a contrast to how religion is practiced in America, where religion is semi-public behind four walls of a sanctuary, and usually with little positive mention in the public sphere, that is, by politicians or people like that. In our gospel lesson this evening, Jesus directly addressed public religion, and he really had little good to say about it. Of course, he was not criticizing all public religion, since he founded the church, which is a public thing, and Christians need to gather together to hear the word of God, receive the sacraments of Christ, and pray in a corporate and public way. This semi-public worship in church, with the word, the sacraments, and prayer, is part of the true religion commanded by Jesus and the apostles. There's nothing remarkable or newsworthy about such semi-public worship, although Luther says that those people who absent themselves from the sacrament over a long period of time are not to be considered Christians. That's in Luther's Large Catechism, fifth part, section 42. In our gospel, in order to deal with the issue of his day, Jesus invented a new term, or rather he redefined an existing term in the Greek language to explain the problems of public religion. The Greek term is hypocrisis. That's what it looks like. In English, it is translated as hypocrite or hypocrisy. Now, you might be surprised to find that hypocrisis referred originally to the method of delivery by actors in the Greek theater. Today in show business, we simply call it acting. The Greek term hypocrisis referred to the ability of actors to pretend, to feel emotions that they didn't feel, to profess things that they didn't believe, and to perform actions as part of the show. The best actor of all would be someone who had the greatest skills in hypocrisis and who deceived people into believing that he was really somebody else than who he really was. Now, for Jesus, the hypocrite was a person who pretended to feel religious emotions that they didn't really feel. It was a pretense. They professed religious things that they didn't believe, and they performed religious actions as part of a religious show. Now, the most convincing religious hypocrite is an accomplished actor or actress. But this is not a religion pleasing to God. It is a pretend religion. In fact, throughout the Gospels, Jesus reserved his harshest criticisms for hypocrites, which is what he called his enemies, the scribes and Pharisees, and they knew what he was saying. Matthew 23, 1 to 32. And in fact, Jesus predicted that Jerusalem would be destroyed in 70 AD by God precisely because of its hypocrites. Matthew 23, 33 to 39. Now, many Americans today, well, maybe some, we don't know how many, believe that God executes judgment against a nation because of its sin, moral corruption, and a lack of religion. After the attack on the World Trade Center in 2001, there were many evangelical preachers who said that God was judging America because of its sin, because of moral corruption, or lack of religion. Well, they were lying. We have no way of knowing if that disaster was God's way of singling out America for judgment. He did not have an Isaiah out there, his true prophet, telling us what all that meant. Even if that's what it was, we know for sure that Jesus reserved his harshest criticism not for sinners in general, but for religious hypocrites who use religion for false purposes. A famous case of using religion for political purposes is the Westboro Baptist Church at Topeka, Kansas, used to be led by their pastor Fred Phelps Sr. until his death in 2014. He taught his people to believe, and they did believe this, that every American soldier who died in the Middle East in the wars like Iraq or Afghanistan, that every person who died fighting those wars, they died because of God's judgment against America, because of its sin, moral corruption, toleration of homosexuals, and lack of religion, and a bunch of other stuff. And you might remember that was the church that held demonstrations at the funerals of U.S. soldiers, sailors, and military personnel. We normally give them respect. They've died for our country. This group did not. The ultimate disrespect, in fact, many state governments, and I think even the Congress, passed laws trying to prevent their demonstrations. Well, the gospel, at least this part of their religion, the Westboro Baptist gospel, is not the Christian religion. It's politics dressed up in the terms of religion. And that's just another type of religious hypocrisy. It's politics acting out to be religion. It's all an act. That is the religious part of it. It's really politics, though. So what sort of religious behaviors did Jesus specifically condemn or criticize? The hypocrites was a type of person, a way that they approached the religion. But he also talks about things that we might do. In our gospel, Jesus condemned public works of charity, public fasting, and certain ways of public prayer. Specifically, he condemned religious acts that are, quote, acts of righteousness before men in order to be seen by them, Matthew 6:1. Now, Jesus was not saying that your charitable work must be utterly confidential. Well, if that was the case, nobody would ever benefit by them. If you're giving a donation, somebody must receive it. Someone has to process it. In the United States, you have a right to let the IRS know about it so you can get a tax benefit. If your charitable work is in the form of time and talents, well, then obviously somebody has to coordinate your work with others, with materials and tools and schedules. And in other types of charity, the person on the receiving end, the poor or the needy, might know who you are. So Jesus' point was not that nobody will know who you are. It was that your charity should be done for the purpose of benefiting the needy, not for your own religious status or honor. Regarding fasting, which was a common religious exercise among the Jews of his day, Jesus said it should be private. If you do fast, and there are Americans that do fast because their church tells them to, you should consult with your doctor first, follow his orders, and whatever you do, don't dehydrate yourself. You'll end up in the hospital for sure then. But if you do fast, there is no reason for anybody else to know about it or for the church to set down rules and regulations for it. It's just between you and God. With regard to prayer, which was also a common religious exercise among the Jews of his day, Jesus said that this too should be private. Now, as we've already said, he's not talking about prayer in worship, which we do together with the church. We do it corporately. That is, you all say the prayers together. He's talking about prayer outside of worship or outside of family devotions. These words of Jesus is why Christians do not get out their prayer mats 5 times a day wherever they are and pray to Jerusalem. We are not like the Muslims in that way. This is why Christians do not pray out loud on the street corners of cities, as was the custom in Jewish lands and cities in Jesus' day. Spoken prayer for Christians has no business in the public square or in the street or in the middle of the factory. It belongs in church, with your family at home, at meals, before or after them, and silently or privately wherever you need them. And then, only then, is it pleasing to God. It's not done for a show or for your own religious status or honor. As we enter the season of Lent today, the focus is not on our religious observance, such as fasting and prayer. Our focus is on Jesus, on what he did for us, on what he suffered for us, on how he died for us, and how he accomplished your salvation. True religion for Christians is the salvific work of Jesus, and then our acceptance of that work through faith with thanks and praise for his wonderful salvation. In our Savior's name, amen.